Good morning. Well, looking out in the congregation, it appears that some of you are more tanned than I'm accustomed to. Perhaps you've taken in some of the Dow Championship that is once again gracing our community. Or perhaps you were part of two mission groups that were out leaving from the church and active in Saginaw and also the Midwest Mission Center. Perhaps you're a part of that. Maybe you're getting ready for the holiday weekend. Either way, I am glad that you are here in worship with us this morning. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. On behalf of everyone who is helping to lead worship this morning, whether you are here in the sanctuary or joining us online, we're glad that you are with us today. As we get started, I do have a few announcements we'd like to highlight this morning as ways to be connected with the life of the church. And we're going to start with Gabrielle Cook-McElvenna, who serves as our Director of Music Ministries, with a date for you to save. Gabrielle?
I am really excited to be able to announce to you that we have secured a headliner for our Curry concert, our John and Hazel Curry Memorial Concert for 2026. The group that we will be hosting is the Eagle Rock Gospel Singers. This is a group that has traveled the folk and live music circuit in California way. They are from Los Angeles, and our time spent with us next May on the 16th will be their very first time performing in Michigan and this side of the country. So I encourage you to come and see them. This is an up-and-coming group that have really started to change lives and transform a generation that can sometimes feel like they're untouchable because of the distance and generations that we have. So please keep May 16th, 2026 at 7 p.m. here in this sanctuary on your calendars. Again, like all of our music programs, this is a free concert open to everybody and all. And we are encouraging you to help us spread the word over the next year so that we can have a full sanctuary for these folks for their first trip here to Michigan. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle. Great opportunity for the church and the community. So that's May 16th, 2026. Next, I'm going to turn things over to Pat McElvenna, who serves on our mission team and led up our effort to be a part of One Week, One Street.
So I want to thank everyone, this congregation, for all that was contributed this week. We had 10 volunteers from our church go down. We had presence there all week long. We had also helping us, we had a man from Clio who helped us last year, came back, and he was there every day of the week. His sister and a friend came over from the Cardinal Square campus in Saginaw. We had several other people join us, some from Auburn. We had even some residents in the neighborhood come and join and lend a helping hand to help work on the houses. During the week this week, we worked on four houses. We had a good time spent on one house for a corner house, and their parents live next door. We did some help for them as well, and we had lots of interaction with the neighbors. It was a wonderful time to speak with all the people down there. Then we did another house on one morning, and we finished a beautiful deck on the last day and a half. The weather was atrocious. It was not a lot of rain. We had a little bit of rain, but not much. It was the heat that was really devastating. And the house that we had to work on the first 3 days and the first hottest 3 days, there was no shade. No shade apps at all. So I do want to thank you for what this congregation has contributed. We've contributed financially to them ahead of time so that they could fund this project. We provided from the Shirley Jackson Fund some funding to be able to provide and help with transportation to get us down there. Water was donated, ice was available to us, and to save us from those horrible days, we had a canopy that we were able to use from the church to at least duck out of the sun for a few minutes when we needed a break. So we worked really hard. It was a wonderful week, and I just want to thank you so much for all that was contributed and done this week. We're going to see a video right now that Brian has put together with some of the pictures from this week. So take a look at that, see what was done this week. There were more than 200 people volunteering from all kinds of organizations down there, not just churches, not just Methodist churches, but insurance offices and Boy Scouts and all types of different organizations came down to contribute. So take a look and see what we have, and thank you. And I hope this will inspire you to join us next year.
There's something you get out of helping others that you can't get no other way, because we were created to be a blessing to one another.
Around 200 volunteers took to Maplewood Avenue to help revitalize the neighborhood.
Well, you know, I thought because of the warm weather, it was going to be a hindrance. And I'm totally amazed that we have so many out today that came out to work in the heat to volunteer.
All week long, volunteers will help with a number of projects.
A lot of people could not get insurance on their houses, either because of roofs or trees that was over their houses. So we were able to get Jack's Tree Service to come out and trim the trees back.
We serve the streets and love just flows. Lifting hearts, we pave the way. In unity, we light the day. Let's lift each other hand in hand. Together strong, we take a stand. With every smile, we share his praise. In our community, love finds its place. So when the nights are dark and long, we'll sing his praise, we'll lift the song. With open hearts, we face the storm. In every trial, his love keeps us warm. Together we rise, our spirits high. With faith as our anchor, we reach for the sky. Let's shine the light, let hope unfold. In our neighborhood, we're brave and bold. With every hand that we extend in this bond, there's no end. We sweep the streets, we paint the walls. In every heart, the Savior calls. Please keep the fire. Let's shine today. With every step we walk in grace, restoring hope in every place. Together we'll rise in unity song, building a future where we are all belong. Come join the work, let's lend a hand in our neighborhood. Together we stand with hearts aligned. We serve with joy in every soul. Let love deploy. In the shadows, light will shine. With each step we walk divine. Together strong hearts intertwine. In service our hope divine. Let's lift each other, one street at a time. With faith as our guide, our spirits glide. In every gesture, the love we share. In our community, we show we care.
A lot of numbers thrown your way in that video. As Pat shared, it's amazing to see the gifts of this congregation being lived out, supporting a mission week, the abilities and skills that are brought to the table, the impact of 1 week, one street in Saginaw. For me, what I really appreciate seeing is seeing people come together who ordinarily wouldn't have crossed paths. And it's a reminder of God showing up in our midst, and it's good to be the church. So thank you, Pat, and thank you all to who participate in the week, and thank you to the congregation for supporting this mission effort, along with so many others. Along with this, I want to highlight for you the bulletin insert. So if you'll open your bulletin to the insert, you'll find that we are looking to fill a number of critical staff openings that we might continue the work of the church in such an impactful way. You'll see that we have three openings on the staff, including our video tech, which makes sure our live stream worship can continue and the reach of the church is beyond the sanctuary walls for worship. We also have an opening for our member care pastor. This is a part-time position. We're seeking a clergy person who would focus on visitations, funerals, and leading our member care team. And then the newly posted director of children and youth ministries. This is a full-time position that we are looking for someone whom God is calling to help kids and teens and their families grow in their faith and deepen their connection with God and others. And so if you have gifts for these ministries and are feeling perhaps called to serve in any of these ways, or perhaps you know somebody in our community or who might want to be a part of our community, with these gifts and graces, I invite you to turn to your e-blast. There are some links there that you can download the job description, or you might contact the church office for further details on how to apply. If none of this fits you, you're not feeling called, you're not gifted, or you don't know anybody, I still invite you to join the church's effort to fill these needs by praying for the right individual to come and be amongst us. And so lift that need before you this morning. Finally, I want to draw your attention to our church calendar, wherein the church building will be closed this Friday in observance of the 4th of July holiday. Our regular office hours will resume on Monday, July 7th. But with this, we wish you a blessed and safe holiday weekend celebrating our independence and our nationhood. There are a number of other announcements in our weekly e-blast and invite you to turn to that as you have opportunity. If you're not yet receiving those, please reach out to the church office. We'll be happy to add you to the distribution list. But for now, I invite you to stand and to greet one another. I'll call you back with our bell, invite you to remain standing afterwards.
Please remain standing as you are able and join me in the call to worship as printed in the bulletin or on the screen. I cry aloud to God that he may hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds.
I ask you to remain standing as we sing our opening song together. You can find the words on the screen, or if you would prefer to follow a melody line, you can open the small thin hymnal in your pew in front of you and turn to number 2130, and we are going to sing the summons. Let us sing.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name?
Brothers and sisters, please be seated as we invite our children forward for the children's blessing.
Good job, everybody. Today in Sunday school, we're going to learn about the 23rd Psalm. It was written a long time ago by a man named David. David was a shepherd boy who became a great king. He realized that God cared for him and all people like a shepherd cares for his sheep. When we learn this psalm, we remember that Jesus, who was David's great, 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 many times grandson, is called the Good Shepherd. Today in verses 1 and 2, we see how the Good Shepherd satisfies us. Let's pray together. Dear God, thanks for being our Good Shepherd. You give us everything we need. You give us food, quench our thirst, and keep us safe so we can rest. Thank you for loving and caring for us. We are so grateful to you. Amen. Okay, let's go to Sunday school. Nice job today up here.
Thank you. Thank you. And now we come to a time of offering. As the ushers come forward, I invite you also to sign the red friendship pads at the end of your pew and pass them down to the opposite side. We love to know he's here and love to get to know our neighbors. And so we would appreciate if you would sign those friendship pads for us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, indeed we do praise you and we thank you for all that you've given to us. Thank you for the gifts that are before us and each and every other gift as well. Lord, all that we have to give is all that you have already given to us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use these gifts to your honor and glory and to bless those around us. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. When James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, "Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up?" Jesus turned and rebuked them. So they went on to another village. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." He said to another person, "Come, follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead, for your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Following a leader, well, that can be fun, even exhilarating. Take, for example, the game Simon Says. Have you ever seen a group of kids play this game? Even in our technologically advanced world, this game has stood the test of time. In fact, so much so, I thought we'd play this morning. All right, yes. All right, so Simon Says, put your hands on your head. Simon Says, put your hands on your eyes. Simon Says, use your left hand, touch your nose, touch your elbows. Aha, yes. Some of you still have the skills. Why exactly this game still works might be lost on us as adults. Nonetheless, the game still elicits a lot of fun and some laughter, perhaps even the desire to follow a leader. All this being said, following a leader can also be mundane. It could also be challenging and altogether unsettling. More than a handful of years ago, I signed up to participate in the 5K run walk held before an annual conference, the yearly gathering of United Methodists from across the state of Michigan. A year before this, I had completed my first 5K and had already run in my second 5K the following spring. And so I thought, admittedly so foolishly, that I could finish in the top three overall. After all, I was counting on most of the runners also being pastors. Okay, let's be honest. I thought I stood an outside chance of finishing first overall. So suffice it to say, I was confident, very confident. Now, when I showed up to run, I will admit my confidence was a bit shaken when Ryan showed up in what looked like to be his high school or even college cross-country running uniform. Ryan is a fellow pastor, some 25 years younger than me, who served at the time in the Northern Skies District. So my confidence was shaken, but I was still hopeful. The race starts and we're off, including, mind you, our bishop, David Bard. Within several hundred yards of the start, the pack of runners thins out, and I'm in the lead pack at least. A quarter mile or so further down the course, our lead pack of runners begins to stretch out, with, you guessed it, Ryan leading all of us in the pack. Confident, bound and determined to stay with Ryan and the other leaders, I pick up my pace, and we're good. I'm good for another quarter mile or so. But then, these strange and even unfamiliar sensations begin to happen. The sensations I didn't feel the first time I ran a 5K, my lungs are starting to feel the burn. And then my legs refuse to go faster, even though my mind is saying, go faster. And all the while, Ryan keeps going and going and going. No more than 3/4 of a mile into the race, I can no longer see Ryan. Following a leader can be fun, even exhilarating, but it can also be unsettling. And when it does, when it becomes unsettling, how do we respond? What do we do? When the going gets tough, do we take a leap of faith? Willing to go faster than we anticipated? Willing to go further than we ever imagined? Or do we start taking stock of what stands in the way? Maybe giving up altogether. Several of Jesus' would-be followers faced this very dilemma in this morning's scripture passage. All this comes at a pivotal time in Jesus' life and in his ministry. We know this because in verse 51, Luke says, according to the NRSV, or the New Revised Standard Version, when the days drew near for him, for Jesus, to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. The New Living Translation, which Bethany read from this morning, puts it this way: as the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Both of these translations are getting at the same thing. They are both saying that at this point in time, Jesus knew. Jesus knew what lay ahead. Jesus knew that he would suffer and that his death was imminent. And Jesus knew what all this would require of his would-be followers. So while on the road to Jerusalem, Jesus crosses paths with these three would-be followers that we hear about in Luke chapter 9. The first and last offer to follow him, while Jesus takes initiative to invite the second of the would-be followers to join him on his journey. It's here that Jesus tells it like it is. To the first one who offers to follow wherever he went, Jesus says, foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. To the second individual who is willing to follow so long as he can bury his father, Jesus says memorably, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and spread the news of God's kingdom. Finally, to the last of the would-be follower, whose only stipulation before joining Jesus is that they would have the opportunity to say goodbye to their family, Jesus says, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. It's tempting to soften what Jesus says, yes? It's tempting to explain away his urgency or all that he is seemingly requiring of those who would otherwise follow him. After all, what Jesus says seems or even is outright radical. Does being a follower of Jesus Christ really require all this? Does it mean laying aside literally creature comforts? Does it mean not burying loved ones? Does following Jesus mean not saying goodbye? It's tempting to explain it all away. But what if? What if Jesus means what he says? What if Jesus is simply being forthright or candid with what's required even of us? See, the intriguing part about all this is that Luke records these encounters in such a way that he gives us every chance to put ourselves in the shoes of the would-be followers, to put ourselves in their place. He does so by not painting too specific of a portrait of these potential followers. Where are these would-be followers from? Do these would-be followers of Jesus, do they have much or do they have little? Had they been observing Jesus from afar or over time, or had they just had these close encounters with him now? Most importantly, how did they respond? How did they respond to Jesus when he shared what was required? It's as if Luke is being purposeful here, leaving enough room for you and for me to paint or imagine ourselves in these roadside conversations between Jesus and those who would follow him. And so what do we do? What do we do when the way when following Jesus seems mundane, or it becomes challenging, or it is even unsettling? What do we do at such times when following God's prescribed path means prioritizing life differently. What if following Jesus means not waiting until the stars perfectly align for us to go? What do we do at such times when following God's path means not letting anyone dissuade us from where we believe God is leading us or calling us? The fact is, or at least I've observed, that following Jesus isn't always easy. Following Jesus as Lord is a process of dying to oneself or looking beyond ourselves, moving past first inclinations, preconceived notions, or ingrained responses. Sometimes following Jesus is a process of opening oneself up to being misunderstood and to being ridiculed and to being uncomfortable. As the would-be followers found out in their encounter with Jesus, this is our lifetime journey. In continuing to run since that 5K prior to annual conference a handful of years ago, albeit much slower, I've learned some things about myself. I've learned I won't ever have the best 5K time of all the pastors in our conference. I'm okay not being in the top three. But I've also discovered since then that in my faith journey, I can go further than I imagined, and that on the path ahead, as Rebecca Nolte says, the will of God will never take you. For the grace of God cannot keep you. May the same be said of us in being followers of Jesus Christ, who we know is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Amen. 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 Let us pray. Loving God, who knows our days and who knows our paths that stretch beyond our comprehension, like the would-be followers, we too at various times in our life have offered our lives up to you. For so many of us, we remember a time where we said, "Yes, Lord, I too will come and follow." Perhaps for some of us, we're still working up the courage to call you Lord. wherever we stand, O Lord, in our walk with you, Jesus here reminds us that the path isn't always known to us. And that at times, it becomes uncomfortable and even unsettling. Sometimes that's true for us as a church, and at other times it is true for us as individuals and couples and families. Indeed, O Lord, there are times when we can look back already and see your hand at work in those challenging times. And we give you thanks. And we give you praise for being God and for being good. And there are others among us, whether here in the sanctuary or in our various places, for whom we can very much relate with those would-be followers. Who perhaps needed to consider where they are being stretched, who had to consider the commitment that is being called for, who perhaps had others in their lives who might dissuade them. Lord, for those of us who find us in those times, give us the courage to follow you. For we know that in living in surrender to you, that your goodness is found. And the depth of your grace and how it is working in this world becomes known to us. So help us find that courage as followers of Jesus Christ and as the church. Lord, we pray this today, seeking your will and seeking your way. We pray this on behalf of one another. We pray this about our church and greater community. Indeed, we pray for your will for this nation and our world. All this we pray. The one who has taught us to pray and leads us today, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand as we end our service today with a song called I Will Follow. Your ways.
All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone.
Where you go?
Where you go, I'll go. When you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you'll serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah.
Light into the world.
Light into the world, light into my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek, knowing I will find all I need in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah,
in you.
In you, there's life everlasting. In you, there's freedom for my soul. In you, there's joy, unending joy. I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. How you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah.
This is one of those services for me that's just a interesting journey, because I'm seeing God's hand work among us. Yes, I see Pat's report from 1 week, one street in Saginaw, and it's exciting to see how God is working. And then we get our children up front, and Sherry is leading them in a children's time, and I can see God working. And I hear my friend John on the saxophone providing special music. And I see God working. And it's all very exciting. But I also know that the path to get there isn't always easy. What Pat and I didn't tell you about 1 week, one street, is it began with a pastor in Saginaw. And you know how many showed up the first year? Two. Our children up here is not something we take for granted, because it's been a journey for our church coming out of the pandemic. And I appreciate what God is doing in our midst when being led in worship with John and with others. Really do. These paths aren't always easy, and yet it leads to us seeing God moving among us. And so my encouragement to you this week is to look in those nooks and crannies of your life. And where might God be leading you beyond where you are today? Yeah, it's exciting to be where we are and to see how God is moving, but might God have more for us that calls us beyond where we're comfortable, where we might have to shift priorities, where we might have to give up on some comforts, where we might have to get past the discouragement, even from those who mean well. Where might God be calling you? May we look for this in our church and in our lives. Amen. Amen. Amen.